Blog Talk Radio.
No, I've been changed. No, I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I went down to the water, and the water, it was so cold that it fidgeted, it chilled, it chilled, it chilled my body. But it did not chill my soul. Oh, no, you know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I went down to the water, and the water, oh, it was so cold that it chilled, it chilled, it chilled, it chilled my body. But it did not touch my soul. Oh, no, you know that I know I've been changed. Sing it, I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Sing it again, I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus is on, is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. Now, if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Whoa, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. For his line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. For Jesus is on and on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know my Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You call him up and tell him what you want. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good day, good afternoon in some places, good evening, Leila Tov. I hope you are doing well today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's say that again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen, somebody. I'm just so excited today because God woke us this morning. There's a lot going on this weekend. There's a lot happening in Chicago as we're stirring up for NASCAR and as we're getting ready for just a lot of events. The Gospel Fest has went by. The Blues Fest has went by. I think we've got Lollapalooza down the road. We've got all kinds of stuff that's happening in Chicago. But we're just so excited because this weekend is a weekend that is Juneteenth weekend. Amen, somebody. And so we, as black and brown people, definitely black people, we need to understand some history, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'll ask my mother, my dear, to do a presentation, a short presentation, so on giving us some history on what she knows about that. It was requested and asked for about being able to talk about it today, so we want to do that. We're also today really excited because one of our very own, Andrea Whitehead, along with her husband Garvin, if he's feeling up to it, will be talking about how to deal with or how to protect yourself from fraud and scams. Amen, somebody. You know we need that information. How to protect from scams, and how to protect from fraud, how to protect from phishing. And I ain't talking about casting your reel into the water. I'm talking about phishing, some cyber craziness that happens from time to time. And so we are just excited and elated to that. And then the Lord says the same. We're looking toward the conclusion of the show to be having to have a talk with Titanimo, our very own Tito Lugo, and see what he's got stirring up and what's on his mind today. So we've got a power-packed show just waiting for you today and just really excited about that. Before we get into it, I got a few homecoming things I'm going to need to take care of. For those of you who don't know, we're having a Golgotha Church of Christ is approaching our 12th year, and we're so excited about that. We're going to have Dr. Olu Shabazz and Dr. Jeremy Flowers in July and in August. That's going to help us to celebrate our 12th year in ministry for the Lord at this congregation. 18 years for myself as an ordained minister, probably close to about 25 to 30 years. I have to check it out as far as being on this side of the battlefield, but really excited about that. But this weekend, beginning on Monday, Lord have mercy. The Monday the 26th and Tuesday the 27th. So we still have 1 week to go, 9 days about. We're going to be doing, Golgotha is going to be having its first annual men's symposium conference for 2023. The theme for that, and you don't want to miss it, is man up, word up. Many times we hear, we always hear them holler, man down, man down, mayday, man down. Well, we're talking about man up, word up, 1 Peter 2 on Monday and Tuesday evening. So on Monday, we have the lineup. We have Rick Morgan from the Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's going to be talking about thankworthy grief. And then we have Dr. Clyde Mayberry from the Allen Park Church of Christ from Allen Park, Michigan, that on Monday, also talking about acceptable buffeting. And then on Tuesday, the 27th at 7 p.m. Chicago time, Central Standard Time, folks, all of it CST time, we're going to have the great Chiduba Nicaruca from Charleston Metro Church of Christ, and we're going to have Dr. James Angus Jr. from the Otter Creek Church of Christ, and they are going to be talking about the purpose of the call and being committed to the judge. Amen, somebody. I'm excited. I am elated. I am ready to receive this word from these four troubadours of the gospel. But on top of that, we are being blessed to have a song leader, a worship leader, Randall Doolin from the Sharp Road Church of Christ out of Greenville, North Carolina, will be doing our song service for those 2 days. So you don't want to miss it. It will be on Zoom. It will be on Facebook Live, and it will also be broadcast right here on Blog Talk Radio Live. So make sure that you tune in and make sure you listen to it. So we're just so excited about that. And I see those that are calling in already, and we will get to you very soon. But just want to get us started today talking about, I read an article out of Psychology Today by Dr. Guy Winch, 5 Ways Emotional Pain is Worse than Physical Pain. And I know some of you can really testify that. Many times it's emotional pain that seems to linger on. That's those things that are traumatic that have dealt with us over the years that we cannot seem to shake, and it always takes us right back to that moment, even though we may be doing all right for a moment. So emotional pain is worse than physical pain. And one of the key points that Dr. Winch talks about is why he feels emotional pain causes longer-lasting damage to our lives. He says because our memories trigger emotional pain, but our memories do not trigger physical pain. So there's a rejection in the physical pain, but our memories will always bring back that emotional pain. And then he says we use physical pain as a distraction from emotional pain. Sometimes we use the pains and the different things we do to kind of throw us off or to try to mask the fact that we really are dealing with something a lot deeper than what we see on the surface, right? Physical pain garners far more empathy from others because they can kind of be there and see you going through it than emotional pain because others can see our pain. Others, you know, can see our pain differently. They can't really see your emotional pain until you exhibit something that comes from that, but they definitely can see your physical pain when you find yourself struggling through that. Emotional pain echoes in ways physical pain does not because it reactivates our pain. Emotional pain can damage our self-esteem. Come on, somebody. It can damage our self-worth, and it can have long-term mental health effects. Emotional pain can really have a burden on you, and it can be a back-breaking load. We tend to react to physical pain much more proactively than we do to our emotional pain, and we tend to monitor our bodies and our physical health far more than we do our emotional health. Matter of fact, for an example, and I think I've said this before, you know, we'll go to the doctor for an annual checkup, from the checkup from the neck up to see what's going on, right? To see how things are ticking, how our blood is, and how we feel. But how often do we really go get a psychological checkup, right? Sometimes a psychological checkup seems to be completely foreign to us. But I want you to understand, God wants a closer relationship to you at all times. He wants to get close to you even right now, because God wants to become your primary care provider. Amen, somebody. God wants to be in you so that he can work with you and he can work in you in your feelings. Oh, you know, we always in our feelings, ain't we? Well, he wants to work with you in your mood swings, in your behavioral patterns, and other symptoms that you may be experiencing or having to go through. Remember, how you see things results in what you deserve when it comes out. What do you mean? Well, what you see is what you say. What you say is what you believe. What you believe is what you sow. What you sow is what you reap. What you reap is what you get. And folks, what you get is what you deserve. If you're tired of getting what you, if you're tired of receiving what you get, or you're tired of what you has been the fruit of what you get, change how you see things. We need to recognize that God may be allowing emotional suffering in our lives for a reason. What could be that reason? Could it be that God really wants a deeper relationship with you? You know, we always like to swim in the shallow end. God wants to go deep with you. He wants to keep going deeper with you. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, we rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. And endurance produces proven character. And then proven character produces hope. Come on, somebody. It's proven character that produces our hope. And this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has gifted or who he has given to us. Amen, somebody. We rejoice in our afflictions. That seems like an oxymoron, but there's a cause because of that. You know, because when you know that your affliction is going to work out for your better good, it's going to produce endurance, it's going to produce proven character, and it's going to produce hope, and it's going to activate the Holy Spirit that's been poured out in our hearts to us as a gift from God, then you don't hurt when tribulation comes your way. Tribulation moves to patience. Patience pushes you to experience, and that experience places you in hope. Folks, God is maybe allowing you to suffer emotionally so that you will admit your need for healing. Some of us don't want to admit that we need help. Healing in certain areas of our heart, certain areas of our mind, and prevent us from repeating the same mistakes. You ever felt like that hamster on the proverbial wheel? Man, they just keep going around and around and around and around. It just don't stop. I still keep going around and around and around and around. And it's just too much. Emotional pain can have many multi-layered reasons. It is a psychological pain that comes from non-physical sources. Emotional pain is a lack of self-worth, having a low self-concept of oneself. That's where you start to see loneliness and intimacy with others. Folks, loneliness is a choice. You don't have to be alone. Or you can be in a pack of 2,000 people and still be lonely. Many loners imagine that other people do not want to get close to them, but when in reality they are the ones rejecting intimacy that may be offered. And then emotional pain is a lack of intimacy with God. Deep within all of us, emptiness, there's an inner emptiness that can only be filled by a personal relationship with God through Jesus the Christ. Emotional pain that we experience, I want you to know today, it can be used by God for his purpose. Amen, somebody. God may be allowing you to suffer emotionally. But why? Why me, Lord? Why not you? God may be allowing you to suffer emotionally so that you will be better equipped to help somebody else. You are to be equipped to help others in their time of need. So your suffering is not necessarily for you. It's to embolden you and to bring you to a state of hope, because God wants to use you as a conduit pipe of love to help somebody else. And you have to allow yourself to be that vessel to be used. Why not me? Why me? Why not me? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be used by you. 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Then he says, the Father mercies. And I like to say medical mercies, right? But God is the emotion of compassion. His mercy is the emotion of sympathy, the emotion of misfortune, the emotion of grief and pity. And God is always ready to help. But then it goes on and says, and he is also the God of all comfort. He's the God that's going to build me up, the God that's going to exhort me. He comforts us in all our affliction, praise the Lord, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Listen, what you have going through is not just for you. It's for you to find that level of comfort with who God is, so that you can show someone else who's pulling their hair out and has their hair on fire to, you know, hold in there, because God wants to show you calm and peace in the midst of your volcanic experience. Look at what he says. For our sufferings of Christ overflow to us. As the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. So it's through Christ that we find comfort. It's through Christ that we find joy. It's through Christ that he can deal with our compassion and our misfortune. It's through Christ where we can deal with grief and pity. God comforts us in our what? Come on now. Affliction. What you going through today? What do you need help with today? I'm here to tell you that we serve a God that is far better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, I appreciate you for what you have done in my life and what you are doing in everyone else's life. We are here today because we are excited to learn about how to deal with fraud, or how to deal with spam scenarios. And so we have none other than our very own Andrea Whitehead, who is with us here today. And we're so excited for her, because she has a presentation that she would like to present to us today to help us to understand some of the things that we find ourselves experiencing that's not necessarily in great comfort for us. Andrea, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. How are you? How you feeling?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, everybody's doing marvelous. Marvelous.
That's great.
You're in North Carolina. Am I correct with that?
Yes, I'm in North Carolina. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Down there where it's happening at. That's what we as we enjoy it. Well, we're here to understand, you know, to learn about, you know, how to be more protected from fraud and from spam. So
yes.
I'm gonna render the floor to you. It's in your hands.
All right. Okay. So the first thing to ask ourselves is, what is the difference between scam and fraud? Scam is financial theft that a person authorized through coercion. So they may have been duped into thinking that this was a legitimate company or this was a legitimate thing that was going on. So they send funds or what have you. They authorized funds to go through. So fraud, on the other hand, is financial theft that a person has not authorized. And it is important to understand the difference because financial institutions do not treat fraud and scams as one and the same due to something called Regulation E. Now, Regulation E does not include authorized transactions, even if the transactions were authorized under false pretense. Regulation E was created by the Federal Reserve as a guideline for protecting individuals and businesses from the liability of unauthorized charges on debit cards. Therefore, financial institutions do offer fraud protection, but scams are not under the same protection. So this may explain why some people don't get their money back. It's heartbreaking to think that there are people who have had their whole life savings stolen from them because of scams and fraud.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's define what phishing, vishing, and smishing is. Phishing, scammers will send an email that look like it comes from a legitimate source, such as their financial institution or some other company, urging a response. These scammers prey on the emotions of others to get them to respond with personal information. The email will have a sense of urgency. It will usually come with a link to click. Vishing, scammers will leave a voicemail or call and speak to an unsuspecting victim, indicating a sense of urgency surrounding their account or surrounding something. They may persuade or coerce the victim into downloading an app such as TeamViewer or AnyDesk to gain access to their device, hence allowing access to their money. Remember, these scammers will pretend to be from a legitimate source. Smishing is similar, but done through text messaging. So here's some examples of fraud. There's insurance fraud. A person uses someone else's insurance card to receive medical insurance or medical care. General financial fraud is unauthorized use of a debit or credit card. It is imperative that unauthorized charges are reported ASAP. And also, if your device is lost or stolen, please report that ASAP and file a police report for any stolen devices. Now, account takeover. Criminals gain access to the victim's bank account to steal funds. And identity theft, it's just really huge. Criminals use the victim's identity to get loans, credit, or mortgage. It is imperative that you call one of the credit reporting agencies, such as Experian, Equifax, or TransUnion, if any of your personal information is compromised, such as your Social Security number. Like if you use your wallet with your Social Security card or your driver's license, call the credit reporting agencies as soon as possible, because that's what they use. And next thing you know, you got a loan. And like, I didn't sign up for a loan, but somebody used your Social Security. So that's what happens. Now I'm going to go into scams. One of the biggest scams that I have come across is a tech support scam. Victims receive a call or a screen pop-up on the computer from supposedly Microsoft or some antivirus company indicating that there is a virus. There's a phone number associated with a pop-up to call with a sense of urgency that all your data will be lost, but they can help if you allow them access to your device. Usually they'll have you download an app such as TeamViewer or AnyDesk. They'll also ask you to send money. The goal is to gain access to your device and steal money. Remember, these companies don't contact you. Microsoft does not contact you. McAfee doesn't contact you. None of these companies will ever contact you. And a similar scam, too, is the impersonator scam, where you would get a call or a text or email from somebody pretending to be from, like, a utility company. You know, they'll have you go and do all of this and all that, go into your Zelle and send money and all of that. But, you know, the goal, again, is just to steal your funds. So I'll always be on a lookout for things like that, because your utility company, they usually don't contact you via text or email or phone call. Usually they will send you a letter in the mail, you know, for that reason. All right. Then we have the invoice scam. Scammers send an invoice to the customer for service that wasn't rendered. So they'll say, you know, they'll send you an email. They'll say, well, thank you for your purchase or, you know, what have you, and you didn't purchase anything. Yeah, and then here's another one. It's called the renewal scam. Scammers send an email to the victim indicating that they would be charged a renewal fee, and if they don't want to cancel, this is a big one I come across too. They don't want it, they to cancel and be, and they can be reimbursed to call the number. So victims call the number and ask to be put in the amount of the refund. So they'll ask the victim to put in the amount of the refund, which they do, but then the scammers tell the victim that they deposit too much money to their account and that they will now need to go get gift cards to pay back. But usually they just transfer the customer's money around, but they'll have you say, you think, oh, I got to go do this, and, you know, you got to go do that. And so, all right. Now, here's a grandparent scam, and it's similar to that imposter scam. Scammers call the victim by, yeah, it's called grandparent scam. So scammers will call the victim by spoofing the number of a loved one, like a grandchild, and indicating a sense of urgency to send funds. Usually these probably come like a text message. You know, it'll come from your grandchild. They say, Grandma, can you send me money right away? I need this for this and that, but it won't be your grandchild. It'll be a scammer. So always, anytime you see something like that, always call and check. You always call and check with the parents. Always call and check with your grandchildren. So did you send me money? Because chances are they probably won't call because you will recognize, the scammers probably won't call because you'll recognize their voice. You're like, no, you don't sound like my grandchild. So they'll probably more likely will send you a text.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, speaking of spoofing, spoofing is the act of changing a phone number so that when it is relayed on the caller ID, it appears to come from a legitimate source. So that's why they're able to look like the call is coming from the bank. It's calling, you know, but it's actually not coming from your bank. It's coming from the scammers. And then, of course, we have the romance scam. Scammers meet their victim on a dating website and appeal to their sense of emotion, so that they are coerced into sending funds. The victim thinks the person cares about them, but in reality, the person is a scammer. So, yeah, you know, this person is going to meet you on a dating website. They're going to pretend to care about you and fall in love with you, and they're going to say, oh, well, if you love me, if you care about me, please do this for me. I need this money because my relative is sick and all of this. So that's a romance scam. All right, and then here's the one that really grinds my gear. It's called the needle scam. And what scammers will do is they'll send funds usually via Zelle, to victims, asking them to receive it. The funds are usually from someone else, but the scammers will tell the victim that their Zelle isn't working and someone will send funds to them and to send the funds back. The end result is the victim becomes liable to pay back the person from where the funds come from. Please don't accept Zelle from anyone you don't know. There are more than one way to send funds. If John Doe is sending funds, then his name needs to show him as a sender. There are also other ways to access funds if a person can't use Zelle. So that's a scam. Yeah, those people, and it's, you know, it could be a friend. They say, oh, well, I just need you to, my Zelle isn't working. Can I send you funds? And next thing you know, it's because somebody else, and then that person is coming after, that person who the funds came from is coming after you. Yes.
Wow.
So
that's a meal scam?
Meal scam, you know. Basically it's like they're committing fraud, they scam somebody out of their money. So in order to keep them out of the loop or keep the heat off of them, they'll send the funds to somebody else. You know, because they know they just scammed somebody.
Right.
And now this person is coming after this person, in order to keep that person from coming after them, they'll send it to somebody else so that person will go after them or come after you. So, you know, they'll follow the street with their bank, and the next thing you know, your bank is getting a record of it. In other words, their bank is contacting your bank. So,
right.
And so that's how that works. And I say that one really grabs my gear because it's like, no, you don't know this person. No, don't accept it. No.
Right.
Okay. Right. Yeah. All right. This one's some statistics real quick. Now, in 2022, it has been reported that consumers lost $8.8 billion to scam and fraud, an increase of 30% from 2021. In 2020, Americans lost $3.5 billion to fraud, which included identity theft. So I'm thinking that this is during the height of the pandemic. People were online because they couldn't go to stores and stuff, or you know, go shopping or what have you. I'm thinking that at the height of this. Height of the pandemic, people were really active online, doing online shopping.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking. And now scam reports were down to 2.4 million from 2.9 million in 2021. However, the loss was greater. So less people were reporting the scam, but the loss was greater. The loss from scam rose to 650 from 500 in 2021. This is a medium number, so this is a medium loss.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, investment scams total $3.8 billion, twice the amount of loss in 2021. The medium number for that was $7,144 per victim. That was the medium amount. And imposter or personator scams are the most common types of scams. That's what I was talking about earlier. These scams are responsible for a $2.6 billion loss in 2022 with the median loss of $995 per person. Elderly people suffered almost twice the median loss than those in their 20s, with the median number of elderly people at 1,000 and those in their 20s at 550. However, a smaller percentage of elderly people reported those crimes. So in 2022, over 1.1 million identity cases were reported, and 442,000 of those comprised of credit cards. and then members of the military fell victim to scams and fraud more so than civilians. In 2022, the median number for military members who suffered loss in a fraud or scam was 765 in comparison to 650 for civilians. Text comprised of 22% of the methods scammers use to contact their victims. So there we go with that phishing. Second is the phone calls, that's phishing, at 20%. And third, emails, which is the phishing, at 19%. All right. Now, in 2022, romance scams were reported at close to 40,000 with a $546 million loss. Bank transfers were the most common method by which losses occurred at $1.5 billion and cryptocurrency at $1.4 billion. So these are ways that these criminals are having you send funds. The most common way is by doing bank transfers, and then there's other, they'll have you put funds into a bit, yeah, have you thinking you're investing in bitcoins or something like that. All right. Now, protecting yourself from scams and fraud. All right, I'm gonna share some do's and don'ts.
Yes,
don't store
help
any
us.
Personal information on your devices, like your social security number, your username and password, or store any of that stuff on your device. None of that stuff. Don't save your debit card information on any website. Use an alternative method of payment, such as a prepaid debit card. And the reason for that is because hackers, usually from the dark web, gather the debit card information and they add it to a counterfeit card. So that's why people ask, how could this happen? I have my card with me. And they took your information and they created what is called a counterfeit card. So they're able to do that, which is they can create a magnet. It has a magnetic strip and everything, but it has your debit card information on it. And don't share online credentials. Don't share your username and password. Don't share your PIN. Don't leave personal information written down where it can be easily accessed. Don't click on any links from unsolicited emails or respond to any text messages. Always call the number on the back of your card if you receive a suspicious text or email from your bank. Report it to your bank. Do not use public Wi-Fi. If you have to use public Wi-Fi to log into online banking, use a VPN, which is a virtual private network. And what it is, like a scrambler. So, and so once it's on or activated, people can't, someone can't track your IP address or where you are. So that's why it's best if you do have to use it, use a VPN. Don't use Starbucks Wi-Fi. Don't use your Wi-Fi in your doctor's office. Just wait until you're at a secure place with your home. Use that VPN if you happen to be out and about and you're not going to be home for a while and you want to check on your banking. Or if you happen to be out and about, you can stop by a branch, if you want to. Or call the number on the back of a card. Yeah. Always log out of online banking when you're done. Do not respond to any pop-ups indicating that you have a virus. Turn your device off and have it scanned for viruses and spyware. You can purchase antivirus software or take the device to a specialist. If it's a mobile device, take it to your carrier. So if you haven't seen something on your phone or in your tablet or iPad, and it looks suspicious, stop using it and take it to your carrier right away. If you do get a suspicious email, send it to your spam folder. Don't respond. And do not engage in phone conversation with a scammer. If you are suspicious, end the call and contact your financial institution. Do not download any apps or log in while on the phone with the scammer. So if you just do happen to be one of those unfortunate persons to get a scammer on the phone, don't engage as less as possible. Don't engage with them. Don't give them any personal information. Just you're in the call list, you know, ASAP. I do recommend activating a two-factor authentication. And what that is I have it on my app, my bank app. So what that is they'll send a text to your phone, and you have to enter – they'll send a code to your phone. You'll have to enter that code in order to log into your banking app.
Mm-hmm,
so that,
mm-hmm.
that's an extra layer for security for you. And
yeah.
Do not send Zelle to anyone that you do not know. Also, don't receive Zelle from anyone you don't know. Do report lost devices immediately because, you know, and always check your bank statements, too. Check them every month. Check them, review them. Every time you get your statement, look over it and make sure there's no unauthorized charges on your statement. So that way you can report it right away, because you only have so much time to report unauthorized charges to your bank. Another thing, too, I'm seeing this a lot, too. Please pay for gas inside. Do not use the pump, because there's something called a skimmer that these scammers are putting on a pump. And you think you're paying for gas, but really they're getting your information. And the same thing with ATMs. If you happen to be at an ATM, always go inside and use the ATM inside. Don't use an outside ATM. And that's what I love about some banks. Some banks have it where you actually have to have your debit card to go inside and use the ATM. Like if you don't have a bank card, you're not getting in.
Right.
So those are some tips that I have that you can use to protect yourself from scammers. And it's very important, because with scams, things can get a little dicey with your bank, you know, because you did authorize a charge. So it's a little hairy. That's why I recommend, you know, these steps so that way you can avoid financial loss and your heartbreak. So then that's it.
Oh, you did a marvelous job. Man, you were so thorough. And it takes me back to some issues I'll talk about in a minute that I've, over the years, now I'm a lot more wiser, but I didn't know before because I was victim to some of this. But you talked about phishing, which is a clicking. You talked about vishing, which is a call, kind of a voicemail type of thing, and smishing, which is text. All these different things
right.
come in. And then you said text. We have text support scams, utility scams,
yep.
invoice scams, grandparent scams. Talked about spoofing, where they change the number to look like it's a number coming from a legitimate source, and yet it's coming from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. If you ever call back that number, you can never seem to get them for some reason. Romance scams,
right.
which usually comes from dating websites. Skimmers, it's on gas pumps or ATMs.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about a meal scam.
Yes.
When they say
yes.
the Zelle's not working, so send this money over here. And you gave some powerful stats I wrote down. I couldn't get them all, but said in 2022, $8.8 billion was lost from scams and frauds. Versus 2021,
yeah.
$2.1 billion loss, and 2020, $3.5 billion loss. That's a lot of money that's being just – I mean, that's like a whole industry that's being
yeah.
generated just on just, you know,
yeah.
defrauding people. It's
that's
sickening
right.
To see that,
it
you know,
is
this
sickening.
Is another element that Satan has been able to use to mask – And also to work on dealing with people that are trying to do right, are trying to be honest, you know. Investment
right,
scams.
Exactly.
And you said 2021 and $3.8 billion. And the number that
yes.
really caught me is you said it broke down to almost $7,000, a little more than $7,000 per person or per victim was hit. If you got an investment
right.
scam, it's going to be around $7,000. Man, that is...
Mm-hmm.
That's astronomical to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then
yes,
you gave us
absolutely.
some pointers about always checking our banking statements, using VPNs. If we have to use a public network, it's not even a good thing to do that, but if we have to use it, then use your VPN because it gives you that extra layer. You just did a marvelous job. I thank you so much for this information because we need it.
You're welcome.
You know, I've talked to my sister not too long ago, and she had got a call for somebody or a text or something, and she called up to her the school to talk to try to find out what was going on with the kid, and found out there was nothing wrong with the kid, and it wasn't that situation. It was a grandparent scam that ended up causing a lot of friction, and which was crazy. No money was lost. Thankfully, during that situation, but that just came to mind when you said that. And then I remember back in the day before I was getting myself together, and man, I was in an industry where I just didn't understand how money worked and whatsoever else, and had to eventually file bankruptcy to start getting things back together and whatsoever else. It hurt me that I had to do that because I hate owing people, but I just was so out of whack that that was what was suggested to me by the professionals, that your best bet is to get a clean start legally and that you can do that. So I did that. But before that, I remember I would get this call, Andrea, from somebody. And they always had some foreign accent, like they were in India or they was way over somewhere,
I heard
you know.
That a lot too.
And they had my information, and they call and say, you know, you have to pay this, or we are going to prosecute you, and whatsoever. And they just kept calling, and it got so real to me that, man, I was almost in tears. And so I guess after I finally got broke down, you know, okay, what do I need to do? Because I don't want a court issue. I don't want to have to deal with what is this. And so it would end up doing, you know, when you get caught up in emotion, you're not thinking right. And so this guy had me to go to, I think it was a CVS or somewhere like that, and had to fill out some kind
That's
of
it.
Thing through that, you know, like a Walmart card or something, but through CVS and wire them money. And it just, you know, and I think after I did it twice, and I'm just like, dude, you just called me last week. What's going on? And they tripped over their stuff, and I said, I'm not doing it no more. You bring the authorities to my house. You just bring them here. I just have to pay them because I cannot keep up with this.
Oh,
it's ridiculous. And I think the payment was no more than about $100 each time, you know, but $100 for me at that point in time was rough. I was a single parent trying to raise a child, you know, and, that's the last thing I wanted to deal with under that, you know, under those pretense. I mean, man, you're trying to be a, you know, this is Father's Day weekend, right? You're trying to be a justifiable dad, and you try to make sure the last thing you need to do is have more problems by having authority show up, you know, when you ain't behind in child support or nothing. But here's a bill that they're trying to come in, you know, and they make it sound so real that, and I just, I wasn't thinking. I got caught up in it. And so even I got caught up in this situation years ago, and so now I can see them coming when they come, when they call it. And a lot of times I just type in, the authorities is monitoring this line whatsoever else, and it's being tracked. And all of a sudden, you can't seem to find them no more. They seem to be gone, and they seem to get out the way, you know, whatever else. So, man, innocent people, and I was a victim of this, you know, some years ago. I mean, it's been probably 20 years or so, but I was victim to this because, man, it hurt me dearly. Hurt me dearly because the way they come down hard.
That's
and then all of a sudden
idea.
They say, oh, you know, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to help you through this and this, that, and the other. So,
that's the goal. I've actually had somebody call up pretending to be from the IRS saying that they're going to come and get me. They're going to come and arrest me. I'm like, oh, really? Because the IRS don't call you.
They don't call you at all, They send you a letter.
You'll know when the IRS is coming after you. You'll know.
Yes.
They'll send a letter in the mail. You'll know. But they will never pressure you into sending money or anything like that. No. They...
Well, I am just overrated by the information that you provided for us this morning. We got callers on. Let's see if anybody else has anything that they may have been dealing with, or they may have some questions for you. Let's just go down and talk to my wife first. Marie, I see you there. You there, dear? You there, Marie?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
Mr.
Peavy.
Hey, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I was the scams and the fraud information was good to know, and then there's the Zelle coming to your I mean, veil coming to your bank account unknowingly, legal veil coming to your bank. If I have, I deal with my bank. If it comes to my bank account, how would I deter that? How would I know that, you know, that is something that's there that's not there? Because my bank, it goes straight to my account. It doesn't, I don't have anything to do with that. So how do you deflect that? What do you do with that?
Well, usually if someone is sending, if someone's trying to send you a sale, usually did you get a request to accept it? Did you get a notification that someone is trying to send you a sale and ask you to accept it, or just came straight to your bank account?
Mine's gone straight to my bank account. It gives me notification that, okay, what it will do, however, I think I asked my own question, because when I get Zelle from certain people, it will let me know I received a Zelle from, but it's already there.
Right.
So I'm just like, how do you – go ahead.
That's kind of tough. Someone has your phone number and they send you a Zelle. If you see notifications come up like that and it's not, you say, I don't know this person, I would just say call your financial institution right away. So if you see something suspicious, like a notification, and they said, hey, you received Zelle from Joe Schmo. Well, I don't know Joe Schmo. Why is Joe Schmo sending me Zelle? So just call your financial institution and they will file a claim, and then that way they can take the Zelle out of your account. They can send the Zelle back. But if you do get something like that, the main thing is don't spend it. In other words, don't spend it. Report it right away. Don't do anything with it. Just call your bank right away.
That's one I never heard of. I'm like, huh? How can they illegally send me money? But I guess it's possible if they got my information. So thank you for that. It was a good presentation.
They're not supposed to. Usually you have to accept it. You know, you should get before you even go to your bank account, you're supposed to get like a notification from Zelle saying that someone is sending you money. Do you want to accept the? It's like a request for, and also with the request for money, like someone wants you to send them money. Usually things like that come with a notification. I'm surprised that they don't.
My bank is a reaction. They send me the indication after it's in my account. You receive a Zelle from Michael Peavy. You receive a Zelle from Juanita Yen. So it'll tell me afterwards, but. And then those two are definitely notes. I go, okay, but I'm just like, how do you block that? But if it happens, like you said, I just pick up the phone, say, I don't know this person, and just send it back. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say just report it. And I'm just surprised that there aren't any more measures in place to stop that. Like, just, you know, like more security protocols put in place to just stop somebody from just sending a Zelle, because it does happen. I mean, somebody sent it to the wrong phone number, so that can happen. So, and then some people aren't honest. They say, oh yeah, I was expecting a Zelle. So some people just are not honest. But that's the only thing I can tell you is just to report it. Just report it to your bank. Yeah. Right away, as soon as possible. Yeah.
Okay. Very good information.
All right, and then the scam and the fraud, you explained that extremely well, so thank you for that as well.
Because Zelle is so, Zelle fraud, I mean, scams are just so, you know, so rampant now. I remember, us Gen Xers can attest to this. I remember when we didn't have all this. I remember when you want to send somebody money, you'd have to go stand that long line at the currency exchange.
Well, Western Union, yeah.
Yeah, so us Gen Xers can attest to that. But that's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not that way anymore. So technology is a blessing and a curse. So.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did a great job. I mean, the federal does protect fraud, but it does not protect scams. So that was a wonderful job you did, so thank you.
Right. It's not saying that the bank won't state won't help you, but it's just a little bit if you get a little dicey when it comes to authorize something through false pretense, you know, because somebody scammed you. It's just a little, you know, people get so angry. Well, I thought my bank had my back. Well, there's something called Reg E that, you know, that explains why it's federally regulated, especially federally regulated banks. You know, they have to abide by those laws. You know, if they can't give you your money back, they can't give you your money back because you authorized the transaction. So it gets dicey.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, thank you.
Well, let's go to another caller. Great question. Let's go to another caller. My mother's on. Let's see what my mother has to say. Mommy.
Yes, I'm here. Andrea, you did a great job, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a lot of information, and I'm like Marie, the difference in the fraud and the scam, I would not have known that. So that's a very good thing because, you know, me being senior, I get all kind of calls, you know, and my method of not dealing with it is I don't answer the phone. And if I happen to pick up, that works for every time. But if I happen to pick up and, you know, it's like maybe a number that might be legitimate, and they go to saying, if I pick up the phone and it takes them more and nobody's on that line, you know, you have to wait till they, because then they transfer you to somebody. By the time they transfer, I done hung up. If they, you know, you pick up the phone and then you got to wait a half a second or half a minute or whatever, by the time they get there, I done hung up because I don't want to hear that. But once something did happen, through the Facebook, and it was crazy. Somebody had sent a email out and said that my sister Sandy was in Africa and that she was stranded. I didn't see it anywhere, but my friends told me about it. I still had never seen it. My friends told me about it. And that please send money to her at this particular number or whatever, however they did it. And people were sending money. And just happened to be those that were in Des Moines that usually started bringing money here to me. And I remember when Joanne first showed up, she was the first one, Joanne Meeks, and she said, I ain't got but $20, but if that'll help. And I said, $20 for what? You know, because remember, I'm the person who gives stuff away. So I didn't understand what. And finally she told me, and matter of fact, let me take that back. I did get to see it. I saw it on her phone. And she showed me where them people were saying, and I still don't know who it was. But I was able to stop that immediately by putting out a Facebook post and telling people that this is a scam, please report it. And so, you know, and because I am so connected with so many groups and whatever, and then come to find out people were contacting me from everywhere, talking about we sent money, we was about to send money, thank you for stopping us, we just didn't get a chance to do it yet, da-da-da-da-da. So I don't know if they got much money. I don't think they got too much out of it. But they did do that, and, you know, and my sister Sandy was in Africa. She was over there studying. It was a student, college student over there studying in Africa and was in dire need of money. And when I told him, I said, my sister Sandy is only about 2 years younger than me, so she ain't nowhere in Africa studying nothing. I guarantee you she's up there on woodline.
There, right?
Right.
And so then,
exactly.
It been for my friends that saw it on Facebook, I would never know. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And these people collecting this money, she folk been in Africa. And so when I told her that, of course, you know, anybody knows Sandy, she just went snap off. But I think I was able to stop it before they got any substantial amount of money. Because I know anybody that knew me, they came here. You know, and I mean, people were coming, even after Joe came and different people came. Because they were bringing money because it was my sister. You know, they were going to take, and they knew my sister. So they was trying to make sure that I could get this money to her. And quite a few people in Des Moines came here from this scam, and I was able to stop it. But I don't know if anybody out in cyberspace sent them any money. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think they did. But they could have raked up, if I had not have been told about that, they could have really raked up a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
They had a good, I mean, they had a good story. She was destitute and a college student and mm-hmm. just going through, and you know how it is with our young people in the foreign country. They had it up and running, you know. But because know me, they brought it to me. So, and that was on Facebook. Nobody never called me about that. That was just something that somebody did on Facebook. I don't even know how they decided to use me or what. But these people do so many things. So thank you for alerting us so we can be on guard, because these people are crazy. I'm telling you, some of these people got real problems. And thank you for your information.
And, no problem. And that's an example of one of those imposter scams. And and that's why I don't like somebody will hack your Facebook account and they'll send a friend request, but it's not really from that person, but it's a scammer. So that's why I have to be careful with Facebook. You have to social media. You have to be very careful. Instagram, I need to be very, very careful with that. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard of scams on Facebook Marketplace. Well, somebody, I sent money to somebody. They wanted a, they were selling a puppy. I'm like, of course, and it's not hard to just get a picture of a dog, a little puppy, and just put it off there and say, oh, I'm selling this puppy. Send me money.
Well, you know, I had that happen too long. I want a Yorkie real bad. I want a Yorkie real bad. And so I saw some on Facebook. It was the cutest little thing. And so they said, no, you know, just only a rehoming fee. So I called the girl, and it looked like somebody that I knew. You know, the young lady looked like somebody I knew. Come to find out, I did know her family, you know, when I found out who she really was. But anyway, she said, oh, well, I said, the only way I would buy the dog, you have to bring the dog to my front door. I give you the money, you give me the dog. That way that's the only way I would do it. Oh, no, you got to pay a deposit. I said, no, you got it. She said, oh, no, you got to pay a deposit. I said, how much deposit? $100. I said, baby, if you get $100 out of me, you better than I am. Because I ain't giving you no $100 or nothing.
I hear you.
She lives in Davenport. And she said, I'll bring it to the door. I said, well, good. Bring the dog right on whatever day. That was right after I had my birthday stuff, Mike. Had a little birthday money.
Okay.
And I wanted this Yorkie. And I told her, I said, just bring the dog to the door. And I said, you know what Creative Vision? Yes, you know, I know what that is. I said, well, I'm the church connected to Creative Vision. Oh, yes, I know you, the lady with the rent. Yes. So, bring the dog to the door. I will give you the money. You will give me the dog. Oh, no, we have to buy, we have to have the something about the deposits for the vet and all that. I said, if you ain't seen the vet by now and you waiting on me to pay for that, that ain't going to happen.
So,
if you want me to buy this dog, and see, no dog, and see, I knew something was kind of up when she told me she only won $300 for the dog, because Yorkie, sometimes you have to pay $2,000 or $3,000 for them dogs, you know.
Oh,
and she put in
the purebred, right?
So, hold on a minute. Tom, go to the door. So, you just have to watch people. You have to watch it. All right, I'm going to get off now. I got some. I'm going to mute out because I got somebody at the front door, but you did a great, great job.
Well, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. And I would also say to that, when it comes to things like that, classified, I would say you go through your local classified ads. I wouldn't deal with selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace. You know, if you're trying to buy furniture, you're trying to buy something, look into your local classified ads, and that way, you know, locally you can view the product, or you can view the puppy, or go to shelter, or go to the pet store if you want to buy a pet. I'd rather see the puppy or see the product, and then make a deal with the person, and as opposed to sending you a Zelle for the Facebook Marketplace. No. I'm not saying that you can't find legitimate things on Facebook Marketplace. I'm not down on it, but you just have to be very, very careful.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. Nate Earl is
yes,
on.
Yes, I like
Nate,
the good old days.
You there, Nate? Can you hear me, Nate? Are you on mute? Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
There you are. All right. Yeah, did you get a chance to hear Andrea's presentation?
Yes, I did. Yes,
any comments?
I did. Yeah, I mean, it's all true what she said. They have these little schemes where they could fish and lure and other things to try to get your information to get access into your system. I think she did a wonderful presentation.
Yeah, did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go to Wanda Rucker while she Wanda's on right
somebody,
now.
That's the goal, to help somebody.
Oh, yes. You did a marvelous job. The information you brought was very thorough and it was widespread, very, very broad. Wanda, how are you doing this morning?
Thank you.
Are you on mute, Wanda? Ms. Wanda, I can't hear you. Okay, maybe on another line. I think I see Tito down here. Let's see if he's on this line here. Tito, is that you? You there, Tito?
He's real.
Oh, that's
here,
Brian. How you doing, Brian? Okay, good to hear you, man. Did you have any questions for Andrea?
I just got on.
You just got on. Okay. Right. Well, you'll be on for the rest of the other two segments, so we'll look to hear from you on those segments, and we're glad to hear you this morning. And how you feeling today? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Praise God.
I will be tomorrow.
Okay. You going to be with your dad?
Yeah. I'm digging.
And you're good. Okay. All right.
Goodbye.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll talk with you soon. I thought it was Tito. Let's see if he's on this. Tito, are you there? They're not coming in. Okay. You're either on mute or something. It's not coming in on Tito. Okay, well, great. Once again, you just did a marvelous job, and totally appreciate the information that was very, very widespread and very thorough, and just excited about that. Here. Good morning.
Good morning. You're going to have to fix your thing for me, Mike.
Okay. All right. Did you get a chance to hear Andrea?
Yes. Excellent job. Excellent. I was just wondering, and maybe she cannot, maybe she doesn't know that, you know, the answer to this, but because a lot of senior citizens become victimized from these scammers, why isn't it, I mean, if you know, why isn't it that the protection for senior citizens does not have a severe punishment for these scammers? because it's easy. You know they're some of them are alone. Some of them, in their minds, are not as quick as it used to be. Sometimes they have difficulty in reading and understanding what they read. And so, why should it be a light punishment, or why should the scammer feel comfortable scamming us, someone of age versus someone young?
Did you hear him, Andrea? Hold on. I think I clicked her off. Hold on one second. Where are you at? 978. My apologies.
The scammers like to appear, they like to appeal to your sense of emotion. So,
right.
And they also know that, the elderly are more vulnerable. They don't understand the technology as well as the younger generation. There should be punishment. And also the elderly, it's like I was saying with the statistics, they tend to report it less because they also feel embarrassed, ashamed. So they report it less. So the thing to remember is if you are a victim of scam, you can report it to the FTC and to your state attorney general. That's an excellent question. They can appeal to your sense of emotion. They can just make you really, really, they can scare you. They're just terrible.
Yeah.
The younger generation, they understand the technology a little better, and they're a little more in tune as far as how to use it and how these scams work. Because they become so elaborate now that the elderly, they're not quite as, I would say they're not quite as in tune. I'd say there aren't people, elderly people that aren't, but there seems to be as less elderly people that are vulnerable. There seem to be more elderly people, I should say, that are more vulnerable than younger people because of the nature of how elaborate these scams are. So that might explain it. So if that makes sense,
Yeah, because I had talked to a state trooper about when I was on the road, I was getting calls, 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning about stuff like this. And so what he told me, he said the easiest thing to do is when you get these phone calls is to ask for the supervisor's name and the address to the place where they're going to, where they are. And he said, if they're fumbling about trying to find an address, yeah, 9 times out of 10, you know it's a scam. But you always ask for the supervisor, and then you ask for the address, and then the name of the company. Also, a thing about buying pets online. One of the best ways to find out the fraud is to ask the person that you're dealing with for the vet. Who is the vet, and get the vet's information, because that puppy has to be, or that animal has to be documented. And a lot of times you can ask, does the animal have a video chip in it? What are the shots? Anytime someone tries to sell your puppy or try to deliver your puppy before 8 weeks, that's not a good thing. The dog needs time to learn how to be a dog. Plus, it needs the mother, especially within those first 8 weeks. Plus, the dog should not be even on touching the grass at 8 weeks because its immune system is not developed yet. But when you look at someone who's trying to sell you an animal online or have these, you know, Facebook, whatever, always get the vet information. You never buy a pet who has not seen a vet. You know, that's
yeah.
that's the
very
first that's the first thing we're about. Yeah.
Very good information.
Excellent idea. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andre, again, we want to thank you for your wisdom and thank you for your presentation on scamming and frauding and fishing and vishing and smishing and, man, the imposter scam, grandparent scam, and just on and on and on. You really enlightened us today.
Yeah. But thank you.
Hang on. Sister PD has something else she wants to say.
Happy to do it.
Hang on. Marie, you got something else you want to comment on?
No, I wanted to answer Brother Tito's questions in regards to the senior citizens getting scammed the way they're getting scammed. Samantha is our person here who is our specialist on Channel ABC News, and they investigate this. And they are saying whenever there's a big thing going on with the people, senior citizens are being scammed, they have taken it to the federal government. The federal government has recognized that the senior citizens are the ones that are the victims to the scams, and they are trying to put like little codes, I don't know what kind of electronic codes and telephones, I guess, what you call it, T-Mobile, and all the different phone companies have agreed, they want the phone company to agree to put these codes into the telephone for the senior citizens. I don't know much about it, but that was the latest I heard about the senior citizens being scammed. Yes, it is very well recognized, and yes, the federal government wants to do something about it.
Okay. All right, we appreciate that
excellent.
Information.
Yeah, awesome.
Very much
I
so.
I think
we
I
all
have seen something
piece.
Like that. Yeah, where a number comes in, it says a number comes in verified. You can have it set up that way where, your carrier, they would have it, the number can be verified, and then you'll know it's legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, want to thank you very much for this segment. We're going to switch to our Juneteenth segment at this point in time, and we will definitely want to. My mother has got some information on Juneteenth that's been asked for. Was requested yesterday, and so we're going to ask her at this time. Mother, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, son.
Okay.
This is a very good subject to talk about since most people are actually celebrating Juneteenth. It's actually not until the 19th, but many communities are celebrating it today. And Juneteenth is really that what we as African Americans should be celebrating rather than 4th of July. You know, if you wanted to celebrate 4th of July, that's the business. But while they was, you know, doing whatever they was doing at the 4th of July, you know, getting free from the British, we were still in bondage. And if you listen to the song that Francis Scott Key sang, that wrote, that there's a verse that they don't ever sing that talks about slavery as a good thing. So that was not for, they were getting free, but that wasn't for us. That, you know, it just wasn't. But our date was in Galveston, Texas in 1865. And the reason they call it Juneteenth is because they, you know, old folks would run words together like we, you know, they weren't going to say June 19th, they said Juneteenth. But they ran that together, and that's where the name came
mm-hmm,
from.
Mm-hmm.
It was a combination of June and 19th. Now, it's also known as Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, and Liberation Day. And we've been celebrating it for quite a while, but you have to realize that actually it did not become a federal holiday until 2021. Biden signed off as a federal holiday. And if I have some, I had some slides, but I forgot that we're doing this on the phone. You know, like Andrea said, you know, we senior citizens are not as up on all this stuff, different platforms and stuff as you all are. But if you go to my page on Shepherdess Suzanne, you can actually see some of the actual people that were liberated. Because what had happened was most of the South had already 2 years ago had known that they were liberated. But down in Texas, the slave owners knew it, but they did not inform their slaves. And that was the one of the furthest parts away from where you'd have to get the information. And so finally one of the majors went and talked to a owner. This man's name was Logan. Here we go. On Saturday, June the 19th, 1865, in Limestone County, Texas, plantation owner Logan Stroud stood on the front porch of his house, and there's a picture of this house on my page, to tell more than 150 of his enslaved workers that they were free. Now, they actually had been set free 2 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. The war was over. However, he and other slave owners that didn't tell them. And remember, our people could not read or write, so it wasn't like they could pick up the newspaper and read it or whatever, or even if there was some kind of notification stuck on a wall or stuck on a building or something, they couldn't read it anyway. So the Union Army did not tell them. But, you know, finally we got to get the information, and it was actually done on June the 19th, and it was 1865. Now, the first slaves were brought to America in 1619. So you might see on television they got a documentary out called 1619. That talks about when the first slaves hit the colonies. And so from 1619 until 1865, slavery was legal. You know, it was legal. And so, but thank God that somebody, well, it's 1863, and thank God that somebody finally went down there in Texas and told them folks, you know, you don't have to put up with this, it's free. And of course, you realize you're free, and you have to realize that people are going on, can you still hear me, Michael?
I can, Mom, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody trying to call me, I have to make sure they didn't cut me off. You have to realize they were riding around on horseback, so it took a while to get the information. Two people, and finally they got it to. And what I read about this Mr. Logan Stroud was that as he was reading the information that was demanded of him, and the major was standing next to him, he got so upset because the Confederacy was no more that he went to crying, and his daughter and became overwhelmed, and his daughter had to let him know, let them know, because he couldn't even finish reading the information he was supposed to read. Because, you know, this was their way of life. The white folks was making a killing, and it was their way of life. And now they knew from this particular point on that their life would never be the same. Now, there's a monument in Galveston. Galveston is very close to this limestone, Texas. And there's a monument, picture of a monument on my page, commemorating that this was the place where the last of the slaves were free. There was about 150 of them. But they worked those 150 just like they've been working all for 2 years beyond when they should have been working. And, you know, that's a sad state of affairs. But they kept us where they could control us. And so that's – and then there's another picture, and I don't know if I put that on my page or not, of two young girls that maybe looked like they might have been 10 or 12 that were standing. The gate was open to the plantation, you know, and they were standing there and could have went out, but they didn't know what to do because even though – you know, we said they're free, you know, hello, you're free or whatever. Where do you go? You born on this plantation. Right. What do you do? And generations of people were born on the plantation, born into slavery. And so they were, you know, and of course, when they first heard it, everybody was hip, hip, hooray. But then pretty soon you got to figure out, well, how are you going to eat and where are you going to live and what you going to do with your family? And it shows these two little girls just standing there bewildered because, you know, people are saying, come on, baby, let's go. They didn't have a clue what to do. Now, there was a woman named Betty Bormer, that's her name, and she was freed by the military on this particular day. She was standing right there at this plantation. But even she was one of those that did not know what to do. And her picture's on my page, too. Did not know what to do or how to do or whatever because it was just so overwhelming. And then we have a lady, and I'm trying to find her name. Hold on a minute. I got her. Y'all, hold on. I got to get this lady's name because this is very important. Let me see how to get it in. If I cut y'all off, I'll come back because I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to find this girl's page. Okay, here we go. This lady that I'm going to talk to you about now is called the grandmother of Juneteenth. And she walked 1,400 and some miles so that they could get this done. And I'm trying to find where she is. Oh, I don't see her now. Oh, goodness. You know how you think you got everything laid out, then you find out you don't? Oh, I know where it is. I want to give you her name because this lady has just passed away. But she is really one of the major reasons that it became a national holiday. The state that had kind of embraced it. But Biden, she walked until she got Biden to sign that paper. And let's see. Can I pull her up? There she is. Opal Lee, Mother Opal Lee. There she is. She made headlines in 2016. Opal Lee is her name. And she made, She made headlines in 2016. When then 89 years old, she walked 1,400 miles from Fort Worth, Texas, to Washington, D.C., walk now, in a campaign to convince the lawmakers to recognize Juneteenth as a federal holiday. And she was the main reason why it got done. Now, she was 89 years old, but she was determined, and she has passed on now since then, but she was determined before she closed her eyes that somebody was going to recognize her day, that day of freedom. Because she had ancestors in her family that she knew were in Texas and were freed, you know, on June 19, 1865. So this is our Liberation Day. And I'm not telling anybody, if you know, I love fireworks. So if you want to look at the fireworks on 4th of July, go for broke. But just realize that them fireworks was not for you. You know, they were shooting fireworks. That wasn't for us. And ain't nothing wrong with fireworks. You want to look at them, you want to roast go out there and roast hot dogs, help yourself. But none of that is really our day. This is our day. And all over the nation, like today, downtown, it started in Des Moines. Our celebration started more here in Evelyn Davis Park. And we used to have a parade all across the city of all the churches and the Iserettes and all the other people, all the sororities and fraternities and all the business owners, and you know, it was just a day to advertise what you do and how that we had come into liberation, because after the slaves finally kind of got where they realized, now many of the slaves stayed on the plantations because they didn't know anything else to do, and eventually they became sharecroppers, which was really not much better than slavery, but many of those that were of a mind to leave and go and try to find, you know, trying to make their fortune, they begin to set up different cities and different places. And those places became very lucrative, you know, like Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma got started from a bunch of slaves that had been freed in 1865. And because they got to call them Black Wall Street, it got to be so lucrative. And the white folks got jealous, went and burned it down. Mm-hmm. But the start was from slaves that had and wanted to do something for themselves, and so they went and got business, made businesses, and, you know, did what they could do for themselves, and it got to be so lucrative that the white mobs came in and burned it down. So, and then there's a city near Tupelo, Mississippi, called African Town, and that is where the last Africans that came in, that last ship that came here, they came and slavery was already kind of, you know, wasn't really, it was becoming unpopular in some areas, I'll say it that way. And so those slaves, those people built a city, and there's a city there today, and most everybody that lives in that city can trace their ancestry back to Africa because their parents were on that last slave ship that came in. And those people also were very lucrative in what they did. There was a family that they bought, there was a young man that bought a house, but, you know, the big house, bought a big house. He just thought it was a nice house, and he was going to renovate it. He bought the plantation. He wanted to renovate the big house to put his family in the big house. Come to find out that his ancestors were buried in the slave graveyard of this house that he bought. So all of this, you know, come out of. And he owns the house today. He lives. He and his family live there. But when they were going through the grounds, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of markers for slaves, but, you know, they put a rock up there and scraped your name on it or whatever, and found out that most of those people in that gravesite, like we have La Villa, it was kind of like that, and most of them were slaves, were his actual blood ancestors, you know. So Juneteenth is just a day of celebration. And I'm of the opinion that I like the young lady that has done now, Sister Bradley. She took it out of the community. Well, we still have different activities in the community, but the big thing, she took downtown because she wanted everybody to be able to see what it was like, you know, for us to be liberated. And so they're down there now, and they got all kind of food trucks. Stephanie's down there with her little food truck. And they got all the food trucks and stuff and entertainment on the stage. You know, all kinds of entertainment, many gospel singers and many gospel choirs. They'll be preaching down there today. Then there'll be other kind of music, jazz and what have you on this stage. But, you know, you probably can find just about any genre that you like today because they'll be on the stage. And all this is free. Food is free. Everything's free. And then the Isherettes will be down there marching after a while, and that'll make a big thing because they're always loud with the drums and, and everything.
Right.
But it's a time of celebration for our people. And it's a time, and I can't imagine what they're planning in Chicago. I can't even imagine. But it's a time to be proud because we survived, you know, down through the years. We're a people of survival. God has blessed us. And God has always looked out for us, hard-headed as we can be. And that's a lot of times that's why we are the church, such as the church is compared to the children of Israel, because we hard-headed and stiff-necked sometimes too. But God always loved us enough, and he loved those slaves enough to carry that down. And much of the legacy of Juneteenth is in your families. You know, just like our family has a more of an oral history. I don't think too much stuff has been written down. I'm proud of you, Becca, because you're kind of documenting some things that we have not had before, so we can pass it on to the next generation. But many times there's no documentation, just oral, you know, word of mouth from one to the other. Like when you watch Roots, you know, Chicken George told his son, and his son, his mama told him, and then he told his kids, and his kids told their kids. But you keep it going. And Juneteenth should also be something, not just our family history, but Juneteenth and the origin of Juneteenth should be something else that we teach our children with pride, because this is our survival. This shows that we made it, you know. It's a very important time of the year. You know, it's a very important time of the year. And it's more than you know, going out and marching them down the street and eating barbecue sandwiches. It's more than that. It's really and family legacy. And whereas each family has a oral history of their own, this is a corporate thing. It's a corporate thing. And so we as a community of black people should be very proud of what those slaves endured and were able to do after the last of them were liberated on June 19th in 1865. And, you know, I told a young lady the other day, she was asking me something about this, and I told her, I said, we always paint a picture, and rightfully so, where the slave master was terrible and the slaves, you know, they hated, but they wasn't always like that, because these people spent years and years together. Years and years some of their children were the slave master's children and all of that. And so there was a bond there. It could not, you could not let anybody know it, but there was a bond there. And some of the slave owners, when they had to let the people go, they actually provided them with the food to carry with them. If you're going to leave the plantation, here's some food or whatever to take with you. So, you know, everybody wasn't heartless, but everybody was making that money. You know, if you're making that money, you might be a softy at heart, but you ain't going to give up that money, you know. But once it was over for real, there were tears. And understand that some of the slave women had raised and had nursed the babies of the slave owners, and they loved those children like their very own. And so when they had to leave them, so it was quite a time, emotional time for our people. But look, you know, when we begin to think that we can't do this and we can't do that and this one won't let us do that and the white man's after us and all that, let's think back on the time when these slaves took initiative enough for themselves to do something for their families, because out of that, here we are today. Here we are.
Right.
Had not been right. Somebody leave the plantation. Somebody had to leave the plantation. Otherwise, we'd be still on one somewhere, you know. Also on my page, and I'm going to post it on the top of the page, this is on the Shepherdess Suzanne page. I have a video of what these slave houses look like. They're still standing in Tupelo, Mississippi. You can go down there and drive, and you can see a whole plantation, the whole thing.
Oh, great.
And,
okay.
Mm-hmm, and so I'm going to post that so everybody can see what it looked like. But slavery finally ended for all black people on June the 19th, 1965, when Mr. Stroud finally had to relinquish that last 150 slaves, and those people were able to then go on and do great things in the community. We're a great
you
people,
said
beloved.
June 19th, 1865?
1865. June 19th, 1865. And we are a great people. We've been through a lot. And see, a lot of times we wonder why black folks don't trust each other and why black folks can't get along, because that was bred into us. Because they did not want us to get too close. Because then, you know, because imagine that you got a slave owner and his wife and three or four kids in the big house, and you got, what, a couple, two or 3,000 slaves. Well, that's kind of... But if you don't trust each other, and if you don't, and you're in the big house, you don't want to give up your comfort of the big house and go back to the fields. So there was always a tension between us. But there's no need for that tension to be there now, because we are a great people, and we really ought to think about our children and come together and do what we can do as a community and as a people to better this world for our kids.
Amen.
That's what I have.
Wonderful. Good. Do we have anyone on? I open the lines up for anyone that may have any comments or any questions about Juneteenth. Please come in now.
Oh, excellent.
I want to thank,
excellent
thank
presentation.
You.
Thank you. That was excellent. Yeah,
thank
and
you.
I'm really so grateful. You said 2021 that Biden had made it federal holiday.
Because that old lady, 9-year-old lady walked 1,400 miles and looked him in his face. She looked him in his face and told him. She had a big old sign and she looked him in his face. And because of that, everybody was hemming and hawing about it. You know, well, we made one, maybe one day, maybe, you know, kind of like that. But when she got through walking at 89 years old, you could not, and all the news were watching her, you could not deny it. And so he went ahead and made it a federal holiday.
Praise
God. Oh, yeah. And these racist people, they are so angry about Juneteenth. Anything that has to do with black, it's like they have a hissy fit. I'm like, well, if you're not racist, then why do you have a hissy fit? Because you celebrated your freedom from the British and you enslaved us. So we get free, and we celebrate that. Now you want to have a hissy fit. But I mean, when your ancestors complained about how they were treated by the British. You can't tax our tea. Well, throw the tea in the harbor. Okay, well your ancestors whine and complain about the about how they got treated by the British. But yet we're just supposed to be docile and quiet and just take it. So that's why I'm just so grateful for this day. I am so grateful for this day, and I don't care what any racist person has to say about Juneteenth. Isn't that what's great about being in America? I don't have to care what anybody thinks about what Juneteenth is celebrating, what Juneteenth is about. And so it was just wonderful. It's just wonderful to know the history of this holiday. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, dear. It was a blessing to do.
Tito? Yes. And, wife.
Marie, you got one? Come on in, Marie. And then we'll get Tito after that.
Yeah, okay. Yes, and Mom, you did a marvelous job. I mean, a marvelous, because that young lady, I mean, I call her young, 89 years old, when Biden signed the book, she was standing right beside him.
She walked and she told him she was going to do it.
Yes.
She told
him,
sign this book.
Yes, and then when he signed the book, she was standing right there, and I took my telephone. I just froze that picture because that was a picture to have. So, yes, that was a beautiful sight. And for many, many, many years, as I was growing up, we down south, Tennessee, they didn't celebrate 4th of July. They only celebrated Juneteenth. And
that's
I didn't
right.
understand the difference. I said, why come not the 4th? And my auntie was trying to explain. I go, okay. But always in the south, they celebrated Juneteenth. And then before it even became a federal holiday. So now everybody is celebrating. You're right. There was so many Caucasians back then that did help. And that's what we have to understand. We got racism. That'll never go away. But we cannot forget those that did help. And then those that you said, as you indicate, how our slave was so stuck because they didn't know what to do. And they didn't know where to go because this was their livelihood. These people would, even though they was, it's been translated on television as beaten and all that, but there was some kindness somewhere where they felt comfortable enough to not to want to leave. They felt comfortable being home, being in those places. And then, as you said, because of their intelligence and because of their unity, they was able to start, as you call the what was they called the house when they got on Wall Street. They created that. Black Wall Street was created. And but then also, that's where all of the soulful gospel music came from, in the church. Because when they was on those slavery lines, they're doing a history on this morning. I was looking at that. All the soulful gospel music started right there. Mm-hmm. When the church was involved, when the church was so involved in the community, because they had no place to go, but they had the church was there for them. The church helped them out tremendously back in that time. But now, we got so moderation, so difficult and so ununified. It's different now. But in the beginning, that's what they went to for the news. They went to for food. They went to for whatever type of psychological everything. The church was there, and that's what the church was there for. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. The church was so involved in the community. The church was—I mean, that's where they went to for everything. And then you talk about some gospel, talking about some gospel singing, like this older lady said this morning. That was their soul reaching out. They soul spilled out in the music. And so when you talk about Juneteenth and you talk about what we've been through, Mom, that was an excellent presentation because there's so much history in that. It's so much history in that. And I just—and what to call it? Whitney Houston. What's she singing? The Star Spangled Banner, right, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
So she, yeah.
Yeah. But then when they start now, but now what they call the Black Star Spangled Banner, and now they're shocked to hear us sing our own Star Spangled Banner. And I said, Lord, look at us. Look at us grow. Look at us develop. It was always there, but it was just we sung it amongst ourselves, but we never sung it publicly. Now it's being sung publicly. So it's beautiful.
If Whitney used to sing that one stanza that they don't ever sing, they'd have run her out of the Super Bowl. Because I'm telling you, there's a stanza that glorifies slavery. There's a stanza I found it somewhere, and it absolutely nobody ever sings it. Nobody. I've never heard nobody sing it. But there's a stanza to the Star Spangled Banner that glorify slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
But it's so unpopular, there's no more food with it, but it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does the black, it's going to lift every voice and sing, right? That's the first voice of ours?
No, that's not the song about it. That's the
black
national anthem.
That's the black.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah, that one. Yeah, and so now that's what I'm saying. She sung that, the national anthem. She sung that with me at the Super Bowl. And then now they got the black one. And then they sing, they have two. So now you see them singing both at games and all that. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, wonderful. Let's move on to. Did you have some more here? That was it.
No. That's beautiful. I just love Black history. It's just so much about that that tells about who we are and where we came from. Mom did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Tito, you had a comment? Thank you for your patience, my brother.
Yeah. I want to thank her for that information. I do remember on the news when they did that, when Biden met her and praised her for that. One of the things that would happen in the month of June in South Carolina. In Charleston, a city official wanted to celebrate it to Juneteenth. And what they did was they put a bunch of flags up on downtown. But they took pictures of white Hispanics. And they, and the reason why was that they did not want to offend anybody. Well, come to find out that the person really didn't know the history of Juneteenth. And I thank God that once they learned, they changed it. However, when you look at our people today, we have to realize this is nothing but Israel and Egypt in the United States. Because no nation has been robbed of their name, their language, their culture, their state of being, to the point where I feel for the Orientals, I feel for any other nationalists out there. However, it comes down to the African. We have given so much, robbed so much, and honored so little. And it hurts. It really hurts that because of our young people don't know who they are, they turn around and we're more of their victim than who they should be fighting against.
That's
true. Point. This thing that just happened with Trump down in Miami. See black people walk around talking about blacks for Trump, and then less than 5 feet away from you, you got the Klan marching with you, saying the same thing. And so somebody said, "My people are destroying."
The Klan get a chance, they're gonna lynch you while y'all out there marching.
Exactly. And here comes where the church has lost its influence is because we have not valued souls. We have not valued people. We're trying to compete with something that we have no business competing with.
That's so true.
True.
How in the world if you call yourself a Christian nation, when you turn around and then we're a nationalist Christians. Well, we're this type of Christian. Well, wait a minute. First of all, you're lying to yourself because your faith is in a white Jesus that never existed.
Mercy, tell the truth.
Uh-huh. That joker never existed. And then for you to sit there for generation after generation after generation, try to impound in something that doesn't that does not even exist, and for our people who was it was against the law for us to read, it was against the law for us to look eyeball to eyeball. Most of the time, we couldn't walk on the same pavement that they walked on. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't drink, and this is what I don't get, you know. And Mama Holmes, you hit on this. How in the world I'm not good enough to use your toilet, but at the same time, a black woman, could breastfeed their child.
Yes, yes, well, yes. Maybe.
And their kids,
that just
and
don't make no sense to me.
Well, and Brother
know,
Tito,
and
the slave children went without because the slave was breastfeeding the white folks, and their babies went without.
Yeah.
Mercy,
yep.
Mercy, mercy.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you can't be a nation of God when demonic spirits are ruling your heart.
No, we not no Christian nation. They call themselves what they want to.
No, mm-mm. No, this is a nation that got some Christians in it, but no, this ain't a Christian nation.
No, it's not.
This is not a Christian nation. When they talk about taking God out of school, and I'm gonna wrap this up. When they talk about taking God out of school, Lord have mercy. I wonder why they don't realize that the shootings in school have elevated. I have never known what it was like to walk through a metal detector going to English.
No.
Yes, yes.
Can't go to PE unless you walk around. I'm in shorts. What am I carrying to a locker room in shorts, you know, that I need to go through a metal detector?
Yes.
And now you're so ignorant that you're talking about giving teachers guns. Well, when they took her out of school, what they were saying was that they were saying that people couldn't pray in school. They were saying that the teachers could not leave the classroom in prayer.
Uh-huh.
But now they cannot leave the children in prayer. However, you want to put a pistol in their hands.
Oh,
come on, people. Come on.
There's nothing else left to do. They can't pray.
Yeah. I can't pray, but I can shoot.
But I can shoot.
Yeah, let me get out of here. I'm getting angry now.
Very, very good insight.
That's
and,
good, yes.
Information
yes,
that
yes.
we have to talk about, and we have to, it's
yes,
frustrating.
Yes.
But this is information that has to be passed down from our people so that those others that come behind us, our offspring and et cetera, will not be obliterated or not know our history. So as ugly as it sounds, it is still the reality of the situation, and our victory must be in the fact that we've made it through, although we still have a long way to go. Still have a long way to
yes.
go. Yes, ma'am.
Michael, and this is another thing we have to realize. Marie hit on this, and we have to realize back in those days, the church was everything to the people. We have now we have now stolen 90% of what we need to know out of the church, and because we want to be up in the front with a mic in our hand, hollering and screaming. But then they everything they depended on God and the church for everything. And so that's why it's important to see these kind of segments like about the fraud and all of that. This is very important. You know, a lot of times when people call into these and they think it's a religious organization, they want you to be preaching, and ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm all for preaching. But sometimes we need to – Jesus was a holistic man. His ministry was a holistic ministry.
Yes, he was.
And the place to get the information, the proper information, is from the church. Because you're not going to get it on CNN. You're not going to get it on Fox News. You know, you're going to get their slide or whatever it is. But if you can come to these lines and somebody's talk, whatever they think is But if you come to these lines and somebody's telling you, well, this is how it is, point blank, you know, like I tell folks, you know, I love you. You know, I might be the bearer of bad news, but you'll love me when you get to heaven, you know, because this is just who it is. And then they can get the real information, because saints need to know what to do when you're defrauded. They don't need to go falling out speaking and telling men. They need to know what to do when somebody stole their money. You know,
that's right.
And how would you except we have somebody on the line that knows about that? Saints' children are looking at video games to the point where they're becoming brainwashed. And so, but now we now have somebody that told us about that, so we know how to do about that. Now we know about our history from Juneteenth. All of this is really part of what we're supposed to be doing in church. We have gotten rid of a lot of this, but
yeah,
our people
yeah,
are supposed
yeah.
to be making from us. Not from the world. Not from the world, from us. And so I commend you, my son, for opening up these kinds of venues on this line. And, you know, I'm also preaching because, you know, when we did the other thing, that's all we did was preach, and there wasn't nothing wrong with that because we needed to preach. The word of God needed to go out. But we also have other practical information. Since we're here, we need to know. And this practical information is very important to our everyday life because we can fall out and read the Bible and be speaking in tongue and get scammed and don't have not a diamond to our name. You know, or we can be falling out and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And nobody loves to do that more than me. That's why I use it because I'll praise him in a minute. I don't care who don't like it. But my thing is, I don't want my children brainwashed from video games. So next thing I know, my child has got one of them assault weapons around shooting somebody because I was so busy shouting I didn't notice that they had 7 guns in the house. Who don't know your kid got 7 guns? 7 guns. How you don't know
good
that? You're the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't know he had them guns. How you don't know that? This is your house. You pay to know.
Yep.
But see, we're so busy doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. So these things that you're bringing, Michael, are commendable because we need to know. We have, you know, it's first natural, then spiritual. That's what the books say. And we don't want the natural part to be anything spiritual, but everything is not spiritual. There's some natural stuff that we need to know, and you're bringing it on this line with this Blog Talk Radio, and I commend you for that.
We're trying to have a holistic approach, you know, to doing everything. And that's definitely it. We want to service the whole man. Come on, honey. I mean,
And another thing, Mom, you brought it up. The reason why we have our children in the dark webs and all that is because all of our history in the books, they're trying to block it out because they don't want our children to understand how powerful they really are. But they don't want them to have that knowledge. They want them to go to the dark web. They want them to go to the ignorance and all that. But when we hear on this line today, Brother Peter, thank you for this. When we teach about the, you know, how they're trying to block our history, we have to find a way to teach our children the history of who we are. And I think that the first step is, like you said, on these type of radio shows, we have to be able to say, no, you are somebody.
It helps their self-esteem. It really helps their self-esteem.
It builds them up. And then when they understand that, then you'll see a different behavior from that. Brother Tito said one time when I believe when a child is walking on the wall, we scream and shout, don't do that, don't do that. But then we don't take time out to put a piece of paper in their hand and say, here's where you apply that. And that's what we have to do. We have to teach our children. We have to teach them and say, you know, hey, look, this is where you came from. This is what they did to your ancestors. And your ancestors did all of this to you. What are you going to do with it? Do you want to go to the web? No. Teach them to put the guns down. Love it. It has to be taught. It has to be taught.
Yeah. It's the goal of this ministry. It's the goal, and I'm going to turn it over to Tito because he's going to be going in a minute. But this is the goal of this ministry to reach out to those that don't have a platform. And Tito will tell you, I think it was last Tuesday, when we was talking on a preacher's line or whatsoever else, and the preacher was speaking up, a guy very much respect, and was talking about how someone has taken a step back and how there's no opportunity. And I said, no, I don't know where you heard that from. I said, I have a platform that I can help you get that forward. You know, if it's something of substantial nature, something of information that we need, and I don't care what the topic is, because we're going to cover all kinds of things in regards to music and licensing and everything else, because all this information is affecting us today. You know, we need to have that information. And like I said, we don't pass it down, and it's our job. We can't blame society if we don't do our job to pass it down. And so it is my goal to make sure that our family has some history about our family. It's our goal to make sure that there's something that we do through, the, through this church organization that God was having, so it will be passed on. When we leave the scene, there will be a record of that so folks can look in and check out and whatsoever else. But that's the goal of this ministry, and I'm just so thankful that other people are understanding it, and it's now coming to the forefront. All right, Tito, it's on your hand. My apologies.
Okay. Go ahead.
No,
Okay, Andrea, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Andrea? Okay, come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think what's going on in this country is we are becoming more, instead of the United States of America, we're becoming the United States of Gomorrah. We don't have a democracy. We have an idiocracy. That's the
in
problem.
In a lot of aspects, that could be true.
We have an idiocracy.
So it's our job to try to help
all
us
I'm say to that.
Become more idiotic.
All right.
It's our job to try to make sure that we can become less idiotic and more knowledgeable of what we need. Okay, Tito, it's on you.
Listen to this. And where is that band who so volunteerly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out, their foul footstep pollution. Now listen to this. No refuge should save the hiring and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph does wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. That is the third standard in our national anthem.
That's the one they don't sing.
And let's also be true. What we now call the Black National Anthem was not written for the blacks.
Nope.
In the beginning.
No, it wasn't.
Because notice the first few words. Lift every voice and sing. And what happened that because it was not taken, the song did not take until we start talking about black historical colleges. And Martin, I don't know if you guys know Roland Martin. I believe he's from Houston or in the Gablin, Texas
he's
area.
He did a
background on that, and he said that even now we don't even value what we do have. And because what we're doing is we're trying to scratch and fight for individual identity versus a nation identity. When you fight by yourself, you can easily be defeated.
That's it.
It's true. Okay, I got that back. Very good information, you guys. And we, you know, it's just important that we make sure that we are aware. And it's easy, and I just want to remind us, it's easy to get upset. But let's not forget the emancipation that we have and the victory that God has brought us through. Like my book, From Blues to Good News. Yes, there is a lot of history, not only in our culture, in our family, in the breakup, in the design that has torn us to where we are at today. But there is still a remnant within each and every one of us if we tap into that, that we can, you know, we can be unified, not divided. We can, you know, we can have hope and not dope. You know what I'm saying? There's an opportunity for us to be victorious if we tap into the joy of Jesus that has brought us through. Because it's only there that he meets us in slavery. It's only there that he meets us in our valley experience, meets us in our degradation. He meets us in our being segregated and being mistreated. He meets us there to help elevate us above. Remember, what last shall be first, and those are first will be last. And so that's why, as Marie talked about, the fact of, you know, the gospel songs that came out of, you know, that was sung in the church, they came out of the cotton fields. They came out of the emotions that was there, because these, they not only was a code or a symbol, you know, that was sent. They didn't sing stanzas like we sing today and whatsoever else. They were singing stuff. Think about where Harriet Tubman was going. They would sing something, and it would be a signal to someone else as to what's about to take. We get ready to take off. You know, and I just want you to know, you know, I got your kids or whatever else, and we on our way to Canada. We out of here, you know. And so and pray for us and et cetera. But you could not let, you know, you had to do it in somewhat of a code so that people would not know what was happening, but yet the people that did know, the insiders would know. And so that it became a cry for us. And then as we collectively came together and was able to have a log cabin or somewhere where we could meet at, then now all of a sudden our singing collectively becomes combustible. But it starts individually, and we need to recognize that as we understand our relationship with God, it's individual until we come together on a corporate manner. That's why when we come together Sunday on the first day of the week or whenever we get together on this line or whatever else, there's supposed to be a magnetic combustion that takes place, because it's a holy praise to God who has carried us through the last week, the last few days, of what, you know, whatever the difficulty has been. So let's not do not let Satan win by saying, you know, that we have no hope and that we're worried about, yes, the government, we got to work to change these laws. We got to work to bring things more to the forefront. But even when that ain't done, you still have the ability to shout and talk to your God who has carried you through and will be there with you at every time, every step.
Glory.
And I know that. Yeah. I know that. We have had a wonderful time up to this point. And now we got a third segment. We got 46 minutes left, and I want to turn it over to Tito. We're going to talk to Titanimo and see what he got on his mind today, and then have some open discussion on that. Titanimo, it's in your hands, Doc.
Thanks. You know I'm going to go to the Bible for this section.
That's
one of the things that I really appreciate what happened on Wednesday night. My thing was on the shield of faith. And I went doing some more research, and one of the passages of scriptures that we normally use, sometimes we don't really get the full thrust of it because of how it's presented. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then I was doing the research, and I was like, wow, isn't it odd that when we present the word of God to Christians, to those who are, you know, God's children, how that sometimes we fail to recognize that the message of God is designed to empower our faith. As a listener, do I come so that am I listening so that my faith can increase? Now, I do know that activates your faith.
it grows. But when Paul's talking about faith cometh by hearing, is that you are learning how to be encouraged and getting to know God even better. And what we found out, Brother PB, is that God does not want you to depend your spirituality on what church you belong to.
Yes.
Religion has never been designed to be your foundation of faith. Your foundation should be Christ. And because of the relationship that we have with Christ and with God, that puts us in power to stand against the devil. Now, I'm not going to try to preach everybody's assignment or nothing like that, but I just wanted to just reflect on mine because when I started on Wednesday night after class, I just couldn't wait for next week.
That's right.
I opened this thing up, and I was just like, wow, how easy when you go back to verse 1 in chapter 10, how easy and how people can sometimes hold on to what they know, because that's where their security is. When I look at the rich young ruler, when he said, Lord, you know, what is it that I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God or to go to heaven? And God told him, well, you can't do this. You know, God should do this. He said, I've done all that, you know. And that was his security blanket for his faith. And not realizing that he was depending on the old law. And a lot of times people will depend on, look, I don't have no criminal record. I don't rob, steal. I don't smoke, chew, or hang around with those that do. You know, I'm a good person. And yet there is something that God is requiring from us, but because in our eyes, that we feel that we're okay, we feel that we're not bad people, we feel like that we're good, that is what pleases God. And what pleases God is not what I think versus what I obey. And so what we have to realize that in the relationship of God, there are some things that we have to come to an understanding, and also there's a thing that we have to come and put into practice. If you have your Bibles in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it odd that here's someone who has, whose background is of the Jewish nation, and yet he realizes that as much as we were once God's people, because there has been a change in the way of living now, a lot of times people, most of the Jews, were holding on to what they knew. And, you know, like Mama Holmes was talking about, you know, that the fathers would instill in their children. You know, it just wasn't just the mamas that was talking to our kids. It was the fathers that pounded Judaism in their children. And so all of a sudden, when there was a shift in as far as the Old Testament and the New Testament, Israel had issues with it because they had been raised this way. They saw the blessings from their faith. They saw the even the punishment from the disobedience. So all of a sudden now, because there's a new way of living, and so when we look at the gospel today, you know, are we using the gospel to empower the believer's faith? And so what I mean by that is that a lot of times people want to hear a good word, but they don't recognize that the word is supposed to feed, give their faith nutrition, and empower them to exercise their faith.
Yes.
And so he says, note verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. And so, yeah, they knew of God.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the old way of God, but they did not know Christianity. And you know, like I told Brother Peter, I'm always trying to put myself in their shoes, because what we're reading is what happened later on. You know, we get the after effects. We're not seeing, you know, we sometimes we can't sympathize with them as this is a kind of, so when you look at Israel, and to have someone who's supposed to be an apostle of God saying, wow, my prayer is that for this nation to get to know God on this new platform, that dispensation is done away with. And a lot of times, because even Paul himself, when he was Saul, he didn't have issues with God. He loved God. That's why he was persecuting the church. His issues was with Jesus. And it's amazing how today that you have so many people who call themselves religious, some people who even call themselves Christians, but they just don't accept Christ as the Messiah. And yes, they have a big issue with Christ. And I know part of the reason is that because he did not come the way that they thought he would come. And one of the things that I've learned in life, that truth does not always come with a ribbon on top.
Mm-hmm.
Truth, sometimes the truth can be just downright ugly. Sometimes the truth can be very painful. Like Mama said, she said, hey, you may not like me now here, but you'll love me when you get to heaven. That's painful truth. You know, and so when you look at that passage of scripture, that faith cometh by hearing, understanding that there's a difference between hearing and listening. And the thing is that, you know, we love to hear good messages, what we call a pep talk. You know, Mike, when we play basketball, football, there's a thing called a huddle. You know, we're huddling. What's the next plan? And we're getting pumped up because, you know, on this play right here, we're going to stop them. Or this play right here, we're going to score. And so at this, in between this huddle, you know, we're getting excited because we know we're about to do something. And the thing is, though, is that God's word has never been designed to be a huddle. It's designed to be a way of life. And so if I put myself in the proclaimer's shoes, do I handle the word of God to pierce their understanding so that their faith can be increased? A lot of times we use this passage of scripture to the unbeliever or to the lost, but Paul is talking to the Christian in this verse, in this chapter, that the saved shall be what? Empowering their faith, that the word of God is what? Is used as fuel, is used as food, is used as wood to burn, so that when you do stand up before Satan, when you do rise up against the evil one, when the devil comes to you, when Satan knocks on your door, you should be able to do what? Stand versus fall. And so I remember lots of times, you know, even and I made the statement, you know, I fall, you know, I was weak, you know, and we all do have our weaknesses. We do all have our strengths. But the thing is what are we doing to strengthen our weaknesses? It's one thing to commit a sin. It's another thing to lie down in sin. You know, and sometimes there are just some things that we are strong in. There are some things that we're weak in. You know, every woman that twitches, you know, should not make you, you know, lose your mind. You know, every woman that has a set of breasts that can bounce should not make you lose your mind. But at the same time, there are some who are so weak that even if she wore an armor, you know, a gladiator armor on, you know, that no matter what, and that's because they've got a weak mind. And so as someone who is professing the word of God, as someone who preaches or teaches, the mindset, what Paul is talking about is that we should be preparing the food for them to be able to be digest, so that they could become stronger and become healthier, not so that we can please the ear and get them emotionally hyped up, you know, we're about to go score a touchdown. No, I don't need you to get hyped to score a touchdown. I need you hyped because you're in the game.
Right.
And that's a big difference. I need you to be excited about your life, because you are in this rat race, what we call life. And so when you look at Romans chapter 10, there is a stronghold, because people, one of the hardest things for people to do is change. And I believe the second hardest thing to do is to have the patience for people to change.
Yeah.
And so when we talk to people about the word of God, we need to understand that we are empowering their faith, and you can't empower people's faith by always condemning, judging, denouncing, trying to take their worth away from them.
Right.
Jesus did not come to push people away. He came to draw them near to him. And a lot of times what we have done is that we have taken that sword, which was designed to set people free, and what we've done is that we have sliced them, diced them, and all because what they cling to is what they've been taught before. They hold on, they're secure in what someone has told them at an earlier age. 9 times out of 10, our parents were our first teacher. Then when you went to school and someone said something that was against what our parents taught us, you know, there was a conflict there. Because right now we were questioning, who do I believe? And so, do I believe my mama because he's my mama? Or do I believe this person because this person is more educated? This person may have more degrees. This person is supposed to scare me in the right way. When you look at Solomon, when he gave the instructions to his sons, it was not for the purpose of him trying to get them to understand Israel's way. He was giving them instructions so that they can live and not be in the wrath of God, so they can live and be educated in knowing how the evil would entice them. If you notice, he was talking, sometimes he would use wickedness as a woman. Sometimes he would use wisdom as a woman because of a male's desire for women that he would pursue wisdom. He would pursue those things that would keep him safe from the evil one. And so what he was doing was he was adding to their lives. And so when Paul says, you know, for faith cometh by hearing, understanding that I'm paying attention because what's coming from God adds to life.
Yeah.
It adds to life. And so if I want to become spiritually minded, I just can't jump up and say, you know what, since I don't smoke, drink, and hang out with prostitutes, I'm spiritually minded, because I show up on church every Sunday, I'm spiritually minded. No, spiritual minded demands, number one, it demands total surrenderance. And that's something I know that I can't say for everybody, but sometimes I struggle with that. Because sometimes I have to admit, my flesh does get weak. There are some things that I can say yes to, and then there are some things that it's hard for me to say no to. And so when I'm desiring to be spiritual, I need to be what? Spiritually fed. And like Mama Holmes would say, don't fool yourself. It takes spiritual food to empower a spiritual mind.
Yeah.
You just can't call yourself spiritual. You have to become spiritual. And that's an everyday, right? The Word of God is everyday vitamins, everyday everyday fuel, everyday food, because it's empowering the mind. And even though, notice what Paul says, they have a zeal for God. They love God. They crave God. They worship God. But not according to what?
Knowledge.
In order for you to know, someone has to give you the information. Because there's a difference between knowledge and versus I think, according to me. And a lot of times, but people, one of the things that gets us in trouble is the I feel.
Yeah.
You can feel a whole lot of stuff and still be wrong.
Yep.
You can gather a whole bunch of information and still be wrong. But now, notice what Paul says. You can say, comes by hearing. And hearing and listening, two different things. Listening means you can identify that a noise has been made. Hearing is understanding what has been made. And a lot of times, people shout hallelujah, go hallelujah, the stuff that the preacher is that the Word of God is directly at them. And they're shouting hallelujah because they're thinking someone else, this is what they needed. And then sometimes, in reality, sometimes, you know, you ain't got no choice when you know that the Word of God will slap you left and right. Sometimes it's best to go ahead and say amen. Because whether you like it or not, you can't change the Word. You don't have permission to change the Word at all. But if I allow the Word, if I give the Word permission to change me, how good can life become if my faith is constantly being fed and constantly being empowered by the Word of God? There are a lot of times, and don't get yourself, I'm going to start quoting Mama now, don't fool yourself. Reading is not studying.
That's right.
But in order to study, you've got to read. You've got to listen. I mean, you got to get an understanding. And the best thing about an understanding, when you understand, you're able to apply it. Look at verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Their righteousness was what? That they were taught. When we were in preschool and in elementary, see, spot, run. Boy, bounce, ball. Well, if you're working on your PhD, you don't read like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your education level is what? Expanded. There's what? Growth. And let me say this too. In life, growth is a part of life. If you're not growing, then you're dying. And notice what when Paul said that, he said that, you know, as we went on Friday, on Wednesday night, about the fivefold of ministry, for the equipping of the saints. I don't care if you're 99 years old, you're still being equipped. Now, there's a lot of things that you can overcome that you can look at your life and say, wow, you know, I've come a mighty long way. But that doesn't mean that you have arrived yet. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to open up the line for everybody else. I remember there was this one congregation, I sung the song, We Shall Overcome. And Brother PB, by the time I sung it the second time, I could tell half the church had an issue with that song. And I asked the question. I know that when we hear this song, we always think about civil rights and slavery and that. And I said, now because you think that you got a job, you think that you're making your own money, have you overcome yet? And you know, it got quiet. I said, we are constantly overcoming. I said, and truth be told, we have overcome from darkness into light. And because we're in the light now, there are some things that we're still overcoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you have a problem saying out loud, we should have overcome? And I said, and for those that do have a problem with that song, I said, if you notice the first word is we. I said, if I got one brother that's struggling, we ain't overcome. Because this is what? This is a group thing. This is a race thing. And that race is Christianity. I said, all of us, sooner or later, we'll become victimized of Satan. Now, we've overcome the punishment of sin, but we have not overcome the act of sin. And what I mean by that is that we still do sin, but thank God for forgiveness. All right, I'm going to quote it there because there's so much I can go on with it, but I see that the line got so quiet.
It's very good, yeah. Very good information that we see. I think there's a distinction that needs to really be taken a look at there in the third verse of the 10th chapter, that there is your own righteousness, and then there's God's righteousness. And the question is, which righteousness are you submitting to? Because you're going to submit one way or another, you know. Now, it does talk about the fact that they're being ignorant. There's some things we don't know, but there's some things that we definitely know we're doing. There's no ignorance involved in that. That is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's intentional. So instead of ignorant, yeah. It's intentional, you know. And so there's things that we know that you don't even need the Bible to know the difference between right and wrong. We inherited that with Adam and Eve. You know, there's some things that you do that you shouldn't do. You know, as my Moses, Bill Harper, used to say, you know, when you, you know, how young are you before you begin to, you know, leave the state of innocence? And he said, well, when you, when they asked you, did you have your hand in the cookie jar? And you say no, but you got sugar all over your mouth. And what you've done is you've told a lie or told a fib or told whatever little character thing, a stinker, whatever you want to call it. But you knew that what you did was contrary to what you said. That was gnosis. And there is where the separation comes in. So whatever age of accountability we get to that point is, that's where it's at. Let's open the line. We have 18 minutes left, but definitely want to open it up to those that may have any questions or comments on what Tito talked about.
Oh, marvelous. Marvelous. We do have to, I would say, you know, that we do have to hear, not just be listening with our ears, but actually understand and perceive what the word is telling us. So it's wonderful, wonderful lesson.
Beautiful. Anyone else?
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael? Okay. And Brother Tito, this is really good information that you brought. And a lot of times what we don't like to do, we like to blame stuff on the devil. You know, play flip Wilson. Yeah. Oh, the devil made me do it. No.
He made do everything.
Now, there are some things that only God can help us with. And we have to realize that. But there's some stuff that we just do because we want to do it. And this is where the problem comes in. And this is where that willful sin, where the Bible said there's no more sacrifice for willful sin. Because if you are willingly sinning, you're a sinner. Point blank. You're not a saint, you're a sinner. But and this is why we're so grateful for Jesus to come, that we have an advocate with the Father. Because there are some things that we know are wrong that people do. They know they're wrong. So, oh, no, I didn't know. Listen, if you didn't know that sex, having sex with somebody's wife was wrong, when the husband would come in the bedroom, you just stand there. No, you climbing out the window because you know you're about to get shot because you know it's wrong. There are things that we say out of our mouth that we know are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I tell, I'm a person that does not cuss. The Lord took that from me, not that I don't know how now. But the Lord took that out of me when he saved me. I don't cuss. But I can use this tongue to eat you alive without saying one cuss word. And if I do that, I know I'm doing it, and it's not of God. So I can't say, the devil didn't make me do nothing. I just chose to make myself hurt somebody's feelings. I hurt people's feelings. If I'm coming with the word to you and the word hurt your feelings, that's you and God. But I ain't got no business trying to hurt your feelings. Now, with the word, if you get cut by the word, baby, that's you and the sword. I ain't going to do that. And most people don't understand the sword is a two-edged sword. That means it cuts me before it cuts you. That's what it means. I get cut first. But so if that's what's going on, and you go, I'm upset because you said this has stepped on my toes, and my suggestion to you is when I come back that way, don't have your toes out there next time. But if I'm just being mean and hateful and cruel and just saying stuff that I know, you know, like some people call themselves prophesying, they didn't talk to the pastor or the church mother or the whoever and got all these people information, then they come out like Peter Popoff. They found out he had some little thing he stuck in his ear. And he's all, the Lord is telling me this and that and other. And his wife was reading off a card where she got information from the people.
That was his Lord.
Oh, no.
And then he's out there, let us shout. Hallelujah. Let us praise God. Because God has brought great deliverance, you know. And all she was doing, she had went through when the people come in, they had filled out a card. I'm so-and-so, I got a back problem, I got a head problem, I got arthritis, I got this, I got that, I got leukemia, whatever their problem was. And so when he called that out, oh, somebody here has leukemia. Oh, that's me. You're, the Lord is speaking to you. No, I read it off the card.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, so you got to be very careful. You got to be careful. How, and he called that the gift of using the gift of wisdom. No, now there is a gift of wisdom. There's a gift of knowledge. The Lord will tell me something. This morning something happened, and the Lord told me something, and I called a sister and told her. And she said, how you know that? I said, because God told me. But it was always, it's always for the building up of the people. It's not to tear any. God's gifts are not to tear anybody down. That's not what you're there for. The five of what we've been studying, the five in the body, didn't one of them scriptures don't say, so I can make you mad and tear you down and make you feel bad. That's not what it says. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is the job description of the five and four that we were talking about. And then you say, okay, well, I got that, but how long I got to do that till we all come to the unity of the faith? That's a long time, because, you know, most of us aren't even unified with ourselves yet, let alone everybody else. So we all come into the unity of the faith, to the full stature of the full, to the stature of the man of the fullness of Christ. So in other words, until we grow up. So we're going to be doing this a long time. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, and that we need to differentiate between what we just can't help it. We just got the can't help it. You know, there's something about something, you know, like the anxiety thing or the whatever. We ain't trying to be smart. We just really can't help that. From I just tell lies whenever I feel like it. And then tell the insurance man knocking on the door, and you tell the insurance man I'm not home. So the kids and my mama says she ain't at home because she a liar. She in home. She in the bedroom. We can't say, oh, the devil made me tell that lie. No, you just told a lie, so we need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get honest with ourselves, Brother Tito, about these things, this willful sin thing, God can really help us. But we first got to get honest with ourselves and tell ourselves the truth. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. They ain't got nothing to do with the devil, and you ain't trying to put it on his imps or nothing. We did that because we wanted to. That's good. Your lesson's a very good lesson today, my brother. A very good lesson.
Yep. Excellent. Who, anybody else on this topic?
Yes, I would just like to say to you, Brother Tito, as well, that it was a good lesson. Several things you said that stuck out on me. Basically, Brother Peavy started off dealing with emotions this morning. And sometimes our emotions from... we talked about the physical and the spirit, you know, our mind, how we're able to let the physical go because, you know, we take care of we think we're taking care of the body. But the emotions have a tendency to come back, and it's like a memory. And sometimes that is what hinders us, and it entraps us. And whenever we dealt with as a child, whether it's loneliness or feeling deprived or feeling left alone, or whatever it is that causes us to be weak, And that emotion comes up, a situation can come up today, and it could remind me of what I felt back then. And then I could always feel it. But I was just saying to God just this morning how I always feel it, but I thank God now. And I mean like one or two days, it's been very recent, that I don't react to it the way I used to. Now I can see it, I feel it, and I just say, Lord, give me strength. I understand it. But because of my reaction to what I'm feeling, that's what it is different for me. That's when I say to the Lord, thank you for the growth. Thank you for maturing me. Thank you for helping me to understand and get the knowledge of whatever that was in my past, that now that whatever that was, emotional weakness that was going on, my misunderstanding or my interpretation was wrong. But then when it happens again, the same way, but something different, but it still rings the same emotion, I can say to the Lord God, thank you. I feel it, yes. But did I react the same? No. So I'm thanking God for constant growth. And then you said something also dealing with when you're trying to help, when people say things that you do not agree with, because as a Church of Christ, you know, taught what we're taught. And when people
say things or do things against that. You do, I guess, just want to attack that. But you have to, I know this morning I have to repent and pray, say, Lord, give me strength. Because sometimes when we hear things, we want to attack it. But like you said, how are you teaching when you're constantly attacking? So thank you for that as well. Because when I hear the word and I understand it, I'm mature and I'm seeing God working on me. And he talked about the mind, complete spiritual mind is my topic for Wednesday night, but that's all right. I'll give you, I'll say, okay, Tito said also, it's completely surrendering. You have to surrender your mind to God, to Christ, the Holy Spirit. And that is not easy because the flesh is constantly, it's fighting against the spirit. But then when you, like I said last Wednesday, when you have to make that decision that I am standing on, I'm standing on the cross. I'm standing with Jesus. And when it gets hard, that's when, I mean, you have to go to your hands and knees. You got to say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. Help me. Be honest with yourself. Because it's nothing you can hide from God. He knows your mind, thought, everything. So it's nothing you can hide. So why just get on your hands and knees and be honest and say to him, Daddy, I'm struggling. I need your help. And that's when we, I think when that's when the closeness, that's when the truth, that's when the relationship starts. Because now you have opened up. Even though he knew it, you have opened up. It's like we talked about how when God asked Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was, but he wanted to see that Adam understand where he was. So basically, when we understand where we are with God, when we open up to God, we say, Lord, help me. I'm dealing with something very real. I heard something that really just, everything that you're feeling inside, God already knows. So why hide that? That's when you open up and confess and talk to God about what you got, tell him whatever you're thinking. Brother Woods is always saying, the person who sits in my building, talking about the church, the Monroe Street, talking about, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't dance, I don't party, I don't drink. He said, that's not a Christian. He said, good, you don't do those things. God bless you. But let me ask you, how do you feel when your sisters and your brothers has hurt, you know, said negative things about you? How do you feel when, are you able to forgive when sister and brother has lied on you? That's when. Or do you walk around, she's on one side of the building, go to the other side of the building? That's when your faith is tested. Are you able to, that was just an example that he gave, able to forgive. Are you able to love in spite of? That's when your faith is tested. So, basically, when I heard your sermon this morning, all those things just circled in my head. I heard Brother Woods. I heard Brother Peavy this morning. I heard everything. And so now I'm letting it meditate in my heart to say, okay, look at yourself. Look at yourself. And then I had to repent because I saw myself doing exactly what you said that we do. We hear things that we don't agree with and we attack. No, I want to teach. I want the individual to grow, and I want us to grow together in love and unity. So the sermon this morning was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good. We have 6 minutes left. And what were you going to say, Andrea?
I just wanted to add a scripture, and this is coming from Galatians 3, 23, chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So I'm just so grateful to know that we are under the covenant of grace, and not, you know, and we don't live our lives according to, you know, we're not under the law. So we don't have to live our lives according to that, but we are under the covenant of grace. So that's wonderful. I'm just so grateful for that.
Well, thankful for that and that great scripture. I want to make sure
and
we sing
TV. Can I give an
the
example?
Black master has... Gormer.
Sorry, I'll cut you off. I'm so sorry. I hear that a little. Anyway, I'm sorry. Another thing about change, Brother Tito talked about how Israel and how they were dealing with the change that they was confronted with. Change is hard, because I'm going to say something. Andrea, you can relate to this.
we've been doing accounting. Well, I've been doing accounting since I was in my young, we were doing a book manual accounting. We had four or five different sheets doing our financial statements, doing our balance sheets. We had everything. You know, we had to show the detail. We had to show everything on paper, And that took a lot of time, but we had to show the details to it. Now we got a computer. And a computer does everything for you just about. If you know how to push the right keys, if you know, you have still have to have the same concept, but you still have to, it's like a change. And I remember saying, wow, I don't like this. Because now it's a change for me because even though I'm doing the same thing with accounting, I'm not, you know, doing the paper layout and all the different spreadsheets and all the different, you know, the different analyzation that we had to do back then for one response, I could hit a key. But it's the same scenario because you still have to understand what that key represents. So that's where the change come in at. So it was, I would say, wow, you know, I dealt with that change. I was like, I don't like this. But and like I said, when I really understood that even though it's a change, it looks easier, but actually it's not. So it's still a change. Okay, thank you.
All right, now we have 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes. I want to sing a verse. A couple of verses of Lift Every Voice and Sing, based off what we've kind of dealt with, and then hopefully see you guys tomorrow for a wonderful service on the angel of the Lord at Moriah. Sing along with me if you can. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, let our rejoicing rise high as the evening sky. Let every sound loud as the rolling sea sing for faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope of the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died, yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our people sighed. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out of the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the bright beam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us far on the way, thou who hast bound thy mind, let us into the night. Keep us forever in the path, we pray. Let our feet stray from the places, our God, where we may be. Let drop from the wine of the world we forget.
Shadows
beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. We are out of time, you guys. You guys have a wonderful day. Love you so very much. God bless you. We will see you next week, 10 o'clock.
All right. Amen.
Amen.